Thank you for that good song, Thoris, and that special music. We appreciate it so much, that good Swedish hymn. And now I know what her mother said when she came in. I think the last time I was here, they did that Swedish hymn for me. How many are good, full-blooded Swedes here? How many are good, full-blooded Americans? Well, welcome, anyway, to be here. It's great to be with you today and to open up God's precious word. Shall we look again to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, to this touching portion of God's Word that can help but touch your heart when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ meeting the need of individuals. And you know, when you look at a chapter like this, you just have to put yourself in the place of the ones that are going through the difficult hours and ask yourself the question, as I have done many times, what would I have done if I would have been Mary or Martha and I had lost a brother? You know, when you look at scriptures in this way, it touches your heart and draws it closer to you and more meaningful. The Word of God can be an impact to your own life. And I want us to start tonight as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ in the 17th verse. Let's start in the 18th verse. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, this is the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, if I didn't give the chapter. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You know, as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ loving this family, wanting to be there at the time of trouble, but knowing if he was there during a time of trouble, the miracle would not be performed, because Lazarus was still alive, and he couldn't let him slip into eternity with him present there, because he was the resurrection and the life. The only way he could prove to those that were around him and those that he was ministering to his proof of being the resurrection and the life was let Lazarus die. Then the Son of God would be glorified through the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, you know, as you look at this portion of God's Word, you see that Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, and we notice that the Jews came to comfort Martha and Mary, and as they came, they were in the house. No doubt still some were looking out the window. Lazarus has already been buried now. He's been in the grave a couple of days. As Martha says later on in the scriptures, that his body stinks. You don't want to open the grave now. But you know, all through this, Martha is saying to the Lord when she meets him, you're too late. And I mentioned that many times this morning, and I hope that we can get it over tonight. How many times in our own Christian life don't we think that the Lord has been too late? But really, has he been too late? Or have we been maybe a little early on time? But he's never late. When the fullness of time was come, he was sent forth into the world, not before and not behind. Moses, no doubt, thought in his time, when he went out to deliver the children of Israel the first time from bondage, he went out and saw that Egyptian smiting one of his fellow servants, he went out and slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then the next day he tries to straighten out a quarrel between his two brethren. And he says, are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? And he knew it was known. He thought he was a deliverer. But it wasn't until 40 years later that the Lord used him as a deliverer. Was the Lord too late? No, the Lord was on time. Moses was too early. Moses had to learn a few things. And beloved, a lot of times the things that we go through in life, God is only letting us go through these things that we might be better equipped for himself, that we might be able to stand the different tests in the world and the trials that come, that we might be a comfort to someone else, and we might be a help in time of need. And if we hadn't gone through the different things that we've gone through in life, we wouldn't be much use to anyone else. But sometimes our sorrow brings great happiness to someone else, because we can comfort them when they're going through a certain circumstance, maybe like we have been through. But you notice in this portion, as we look at Martha, as she hears that the Lord is there, notice the 19th verse, 20th verse, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, now, beloved, she heard it. Somebody, no doubt, was still looking out that window and said, here he comes, the Lord's coming, he's coming. And as soon as Martha heard it, notice what happened, that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. You would think it would be the other way around, wouldn't you? That the one that was always worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that sat at his feet so often, the one that wiped his feet with the hair of her head and anointed those feet with the alabaster box that she broke upon them, you would think that she would be the one that would be the most spiritual of the two, and she would go out and meet the Lord. But beloved, sometimes outward signs are not the inward heart. Martha was always one that was busy for the Lord, doing, and the Lord told her that she was cumbered about with much work, much doing, and she needed some of Mary. But in this case, Mary needed some of Martha. Mary sits home and pounds. Mary isn't angry at the Lord, but beloved, I believe she's hurt. Have you ever been hurt by an individual that you thought let you down because of some circumstances taken into your life, and you thought that this individual would be there right on the spot, but they didn't show up? Oh, I had an experience as I was doing pastor work in Sanford, North Carolina, some years ago. In fact, it's many years ago. We were at the Bristol Bible Conference, and a man that I led to the Lord just a few weeks before died and went into eternity, and I had the joy of leading this man to the Lord. And he died on the day they were going to have on a Friday, and they were going to have the funeral on Sunday. And I got the message when I got to Bristol. And of course, as soon as the police got a hold of me, and they told me about that I should call home, and I did. And they said, now we want you to come for the funeral. Well, now I was doing the pastoral work there at the chapel, and normally you would expect the man to come back. But I had told him when I went to the Sanford chapel, I said, it's 2 weeks out of the year, you can't count on me, and that's during a Bristol Bible Conference. I said, if I can make it, I will. But I said, I have a lot of responsibility on me at that time. And a lot of people come, and they expect things to go on, so that's 2 weeks out of the year. Before I come and help you, I want you to understand that it's booked, and I won't be available those 2 weeks. Well, the family was close to me. I had led the man to the Lord, like I said. I'd been a blessing to the children and to the wife. And you know, I can still remember that as if it was yesterday. I called and I said, when is the funeral? They said, tomorrow. I said, brother, I just can't make it tomorrow. I said, could you postpone it to Monday? No, we have to have it tomorrow. I said, there's no way I can make it tomorrow. I said, there's over 400 people coming to our conference. I have responsibilities of the young people. I have responsibilities for the choir, for the singing. I have responsibility even for closing up the place at that time. Many of us who were working at the conference, we didn't have as many helpers at that time. And many of us took many loads. And I just couldn't leave. And they said, well, you've got to come. And I said, I just can't. Now, if you make it Monday, I'll fly home. But I said, I can't make it on Sunday. I said, it's the start of the conference. Well, you know, beloved, they got hurt. And I was in deep trouble when I came home from the conference. A lot felt hard at me. They felt, as some of them felt, that I was doing their pastor and their pastor work. They felt that their pastor had let them down. And beloved, I went to this chapter many times during that time, and I sat down with the men one night, and I said, you must remember the agreement that we came to. I said, it's 2 weeks out of the year, I cannot be here. And I said, let's remember. And one elder said, I remember it. You know, sometimes we're afraid to put things in writing, but I wish I would have had that in writing. But one elder remembered it. The other said they couldn't remember it. But you know, even to this day, though we were close friends, that family, even to this day, still feels that I let them down. Beloved, you know, I can feel what the Lord felt like here. He wanted to be with them. I wanted to be with them. But I had 400 other people that were counting on me being there too. And you know, the Lord had the people around him. And they were counting on him. And he said, let's go to this place. He was teaching them beyond Jordan. Now this family is hurt. Just like the family in Sanford to this day, I think there's still a lot of hurt there. And I'm sorry for it. I've repented many a time. I've said many times, I'm sorry for it. but it still doesn't repair the damage of letting them down. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ here, he comes. And Mary is sitting at home feeling hurt towards the Lord. Have you ever felt hurt towards the Lord? Have you ever felt in your life experience that the Lord just let you down? He wasn't there when you needed him. And yet the scripture tells you that he sticketh closer than a brother. He sticks closer than a brother. And yet you feel that the Lord let you down. That's what Mary felt like. Martha, as she looked at the Lord, notice what it says here. In the 21st verse, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Lord, you're too late. You're too late. Oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through this. He had to go through this with Mary and Martha, and all the time he could see that too. He could see that it wouldn't be an hour when he said, come forth. And Lazarus would be the living one. But all during this time, he's going through this badgering of Mary and Martha and the friends looking at him and thinking that the Lord failed. How many times hasn't the Lord put up from badgering even from us? And we've said to the Lord, well, Lord, you let me down. But really, the Lord didn't let us down. He was on time. He had things in control. But you see, so many times we think God hasn't got things in control. We think that he's lost control, and in this particular incident, he can't meet the need. But you know, sometimes the need of the Lord is to take the one home to glory. Sometimes he wants that one, that loved one. We've had him long enough. And he wants that one in heaven for his own joy. And really, this last year, my sister lost her husband. And I'll never forget when I flew up to Minneapolis to see her and to be at the funeral. I saw her as she just brought the body back from Rochester, Minnesota. He died in just a few weeks of cancer. You know, she was laying on the bed sobbing as I walked in. They had just brought the body back as I got into town. And I walked into her room, I'll never forget, and I said, Eleanor. And she was sobbing. I said, did you ever think of where Lyle is? She says, yes. I said, what does the Word of God say? She says, he's with the Lord. I said, have you ever thought, Eleanor, of how he is? She said, no. I said, the Scripture says, far better. I said, Eleanor, I said, who are you feeling sorry for? Are you feeling sorry for yourself or for Lyle? She picked herself up in the bed. Said, Jim, you're right. I'm feeling sorry for myself. You know, beloved, this was a case of Mary and Martha. They were feeling sorry for themselves that they had lost their brother, the one that they loved. They didn't want to give him up to God. None of us want to give up our loved ones to God, do we? That's why we cry. That's why we some days go on for months crying for the ones that have gone on before us. And we really are missing their presence so much that we feel sorry for ourselves. We're not really feeling sorry for them. For if they know the Lord, they're far better. But now if they don't know the Lord, we should weep for those. For what a place they are in. But beloved, for those that are saved, the only way that the Lord can get them home to heaven outside of the rapture of the church is through the death door. And the death door is a servant to the saints of God. And it opens up the door to heaven that we can go absent from the body, present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the only way we can get in to his presence. But the Lord allowed Lazarus to die. Lord, if you had been here, Lord, you're too late. You're too late. Now notice the next thing. But, and I think Martha caught what she had really said to the Lord. And she bounces back and tries to cover up her blunt statement. And she says, but I know. But I don't think she did know. I don't think Martha really knew what it was all about. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. But she didn't really believe that statement. She was only covering up her first statement, and I'll prove it in a few moments. Beloved, here she says something to cover up that strong statement. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. If you had been here, we wouldn't go through this. Lord, you're too late. And beloved, many times we feel that the Lord is too late. But he's never too late. Notice what it says. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He wanted to prove to her that he was the power of the resurrection. Who else could he show it to more than those he loved so much? He loved Lazarus so much. He loved Martha so much. He loved Mary so much. He chose this family, this special family, to go through this ordeal that he might bring the blessing of God on the whole world, that the whole world might know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. And beloved, let us never forget, when God chooses us to go through something, it's for his glory, but he has allowed us to go through it for him that we might bring glory to him. Oh, if we could only always act and think calmly when we go through things, that this is for the glory of God. But you know, I'm preaching to myself tonight and not to you. Because when I preach on a subject like this, I realize how much I fail and grumble when the Lord allows me to go through something, and I should be like Paul and Silas and say, thank the Lord for those heartaches. Thank the Lord for those stripes on my back. I don't think Daniel, when he was cast into the lion's den, thought it was a very nice picnic. I think he would have been just like you and me if we would say, now you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. I think he was just like we are, scared to death, and no doubt said, oh Lord, why are you doing this to me? But beloved, we know the end of the story, that God was going to be in the lion's den with him. And can we ever forget as believers that the Lord Jesus Christ never sends out his own by themselves? He always goes with them. The three Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. How about those three? I don't think they thought it was a very nice fire. When they looked at that fire and it was heated seven times hotter than it had ever been heated, and they were going to be cast into it, I don't think those fellows said, oh boy, let's get this over with. Let's go right into that fire and have a good time. We're going to be dancing around that fire with the Lord. They didn't know that they were going to be dancing around the fire with the Lord. You don't know what you're going to go through and how the Lord's going to meet the need until you go through it. Beloved, this is a hard thing in life. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and we look at the things around us and we think that nobody else goes through this. Why does the Lord have to put me through it? Why can't he put somebody else through it? Why do I always have to be the guy that gets the short end of the deal? Why is the Lord always picking on me? And you know, we're always looking at ourselves and we wonder why the other guy that's ungodly and doesn't live for the Lord, he gets away with murder, it seems like, and we're always getting whipped or something spanked by the Lord and we're always feeling sorry for ourselves. But you know, beloved, we should be like Mary and Martha, as they were later on. God chose him because he could maybe trust them more than anyone else. It was a family that he loved. And when the Lord allows you to go through something, say, God, I thank you that you have chosen me, that I can go through with this. And Margaret, please remind me of that next time I start to grumble with you, and Tina, and they probably will. But you know, it's easy to preach it, isn't it? But isn't it hard to go through? Now I'm trying to be practical and honest. I wouldn't dare to stand up here with my wife and daughter out there, knowing me like they do, living with me 24 hours a day or as many times as I'm home and so on, knowing what kind of a person I am. All of us have our down sittings and our uprisings, and sometimes we fret and sometimes we complain and sometimes we murmur and sometimes we think we're getting the short end of the deal. Beloved, we have to be practical. Every one of us are this way. We can put on an outward front in front of the whole congregation and pretend like nothing's wrong, but down inside, we might be smiling to you outwardly, but down inside, we're crying inside saying, help me, I'm going through something. I went into an office of a man not long ago traveling. I won't say where it was because you all know the dear brother. He's been a great servant of God in another state. He served the Lord for many years. He's done many great things in the assembly. And I walked into his office as he was sitting behind his desk. I said, brother, are you saved today and know it? And I smiled. I was all geared up, you know, and ready. Isn't it nice to be all geared up and then you meet some Christian and he maybe hasn't been as geared up as you are right then? And you say, listen, I looked at him and his face just kind of turned stone. And he says, yes, I know it today and I'll know it tomorrow. But he sure didn't look very happy about it. And he asked me to wait. He said, could you wait around for a couple hours and have lunch with me? And I said, yes. So we went to lunch, and during the dinner, he paid for the meal, thank the Lord for it. But you know, during the meal, we were sitting there, and he said, Jim, you really got me off guard this morning. I said, what was that? I was so happy to see him. Get near him, let some of the truths of God rub off from him onto me. He said, when you come in and ask me if I was saved and if I knew it, he says, brother, a week ago, now get this, this is a servant of God that's been serving him probably for over 50 years, full time. He said, a week ago, if you would have asked me that question, I would have had to break down and cry. And I'd have to say, Jim, I don't even know if I'm saved today. He said, the devil has put me through so much the last few months that he says, it was just 1 week ago that the Lord gave me back the assurance of my salvation. Can it happen? But he said, Jim, I'm so glad that you came and asked me. Because he said, you're the first person that asked me that. And he says, I was glad to say, yes, I know it today and I'll know it tomorrow. Beloved, we don't know what each Christian is going through. I don't know tonight when I speak what you're going through or your trials or your difficulties or what your mind is playing on you or what the devil is doing to you or your circumstances around you or your home. Your home might be falling apart and you might not let anybody else know about it. But you know about it. Everything seems to be on a rock. And yet, nobody seems to care. But there is one that cares. The Lord cares. He knows Mary, and he knows Martha. Notice what Martha said to him. Martha said unto him in the 24th verse, I know that ye shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Beloved, he said he's going to rise. Notice the Lord said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know, Lord. But she was looking at the resurrection. She wasn't looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was and who he is. He is the resurrection and the life. He said he's going to rise. She said, I know he'll rise at the resurrection. She believed in the doctrine of the resurrection, but she didn't believe that Jesus Christ would rise Lazarus from the dead, raise him from the dead. She thought that it would be at the last day. She thought it was all over for Lazarus. Have you felt that way sometime into your circumstance? You felt that the Lord was too late and now it's past time and the Lord can't do anything about it. Oh, beloved, you know we have to commit things into God's hands. It's so unwise for us to say, it's the Lord's will to do this and it's the Lord's will to do that. I always get afraid when a Christian says that because now I've been serving the Lord for some years, but I have found this out. I don't say definitely, I know it's the Lord's will. I can say, I think it's the Lord's will. And I have heard people say when I was in Florida, a man said, he got up in the assembly and said, now I know that the Lord's going to heal this girl of cancer. For the Baptist church and the Presbyterian church and the other Christians and the assembly Christians, they've all prayed over with this girl and she's going to be healed. And the Lord's not going to let her die. And the doctor said she's going to die of cancer. She hasn't got but a few days to live. And we have a promise of God that he's going to raise her from that sick bed because he wouldn't take a beautiful young Christian girl like that away from us. And when he said it, I shuddered in my seat where I was sitting. I said, oh, brother, don't say that. It might be the Lord's will to take her. He said, but we have claimed the promises of God's word. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, doubting, it will be done. Beloved, you have to go a little further than that. It also says to keep his word. And how many of us have kept his word? If he's going to answer the prayer, we are supposed to keep his word. We take the first part of the verse, but we don't take the last part where it says, keeping his word and his commandments. And a lot of those people weren't keeping all of his commandments and his word. And yet they were claiming the promise of Christ. Well, beloved, a lot of them about got shipwrecked in 2 weeks. They had that all-night prayer meeting and that anointing meeting, and they thought that girl was going to live, but she died. Listen, let's be careful. Let's be careful. God's will be done, not our will. God is the one who's working the thing. Mary and Martha thought Jesus should come and raise him from the sick bed, but he didn't do it. And they thought he was too late. But notice quickly as we go on into the chapter, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Notice her answer. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. She didn't say he was the resurrection and the life. But you see, now this is the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting over to the disciples. He is the one who has conquered death. Do we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that he gives new life to a man? I think that's the trouble with some of our preaching today. We preach to people, we ask them to accept Christ, but we don't expect the new life to come in. Listen, if a person is truly saved, they have a new life. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we should demand it of every convert that there's a change in their life that they desire to serve the Lord. And if we don't see the change, we should be a good enough fruit inspector to see that they probably have never been born again. Beloved, it's a new life where the Lord Jesus Christ, because he takes the dead man that was dead in trespasses and sin, and he gives him a new life, a new being, a new way to live. And that's the way it should be for every soul that trusts Christ. But notice what she says there. She said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ." She didn't say the resurrection and the life. The Son of God. She gives him credit for being the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now notice the next verse. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Mary, he's come. Mary still home, pouting, waiting for the Lord to call her. She's there pouting, upset at the Lord because he wasn't there. And beloved, many times we're that way. "Well, I don't think I want to pray today. The Lord didn't answer my prayer the way it is. What's the use of praying? What's the use of reading my Bible? The Lord didn't answer my prayer. Why should I bother to read his word? I've been faithful studying the word of God and reading it and praying. What does the Lord do? He lets me down." That's Mary's attitude. She's staying at home. But notice, she calls her secretly. No doubt Martha didn't know what Mary's response would be. Maybe she thought Mary would say, "I don't want to see him. Tell him to go away. If he couldn't come when my brother was sick, he's not good enough to see me now." Oh, beloved, that's some way that I act. And maybe you act. When you're going through a stress time, Mary was called secretly. But notice what it says in the 29th verse. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at in the place where Mary, where Martha met him. You know, beloved, the Lord stayed at the place. He's outside the home. The home that he once just went in whenever he wanted to. He maybe didn't even have to knock on their door and ask admittance. He could come in because it was his home. It was his home away from home. You know, you have friends like that that are so close to you, probably in Raleigh, that you just can walk into their back door and you don't even mind not even knocking. You're that close. You're a friend. That's the way the Lord was here. But you see, he wasn't on time, according to Mary and Martha. And he didn't know if they'd want to see him. Because he knew in their heart, they felt that he had failed them. Beloved, may I ask you a question tonight in sincerity? Is the Lord outside of your life's heart door? And has been for some time because you felt hurt at him, but he's still waiting for you to come. He doesn't want to force himself into your life. At one time in your Christian experience, you could always say that the Lord's with me. But you went through something. You went through a difficulty. And you felt the Lord failed you. And you haven't been feeling like praying. And you don't read your Bible as much. And you don't testify as much. Because really deep down inside the secrets of your heart, if we could open them up, you're still hurt. You're still hurt towards the Lord. You felt that he failed you. This is Mary. This is Martha. Martha comes out. Mary lingers behind. You think she'd be the one that would be there first because she's the most spiritual. But, beloved, I have noticed this, that sometimes the most spiritual Christians, when they go through a trial, are the ones that take it the worst. And the ones that aren't very spiritual seem to come through the trial better. Now, I can't understand that. But sometimes it seems like a spiritual person that you say, well, they can go through death, they can go through any circumstance, and it won't faze them. And yet they go through something, and right away you see they fall flat on their face. Sometimes it's just outward worship and not inward worship. What kind of worship do we have to the Lord? A real inward worship where we look at him and we see him as our God and our Savior and our Lord and one that we trust and love? Is it an inward worship or is it just an outward worship? Now, I'm not accusing Mary of just being an outward worshiper. But, beloved, here she gives the opinion of that, doesn't she? She stayed home by herself. She's sorrowing. Notice the 31st verse. The Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, She fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Beloved, she takes her place of worship, but I believe it was a heart that was broken to the Lord. She felt let down. She felt that the Lord had failed her. Lord, if you had been here. The next verse is a touching verse. For notice what it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why was the Lord troubled? The Lord knew that the end would be better than the beginning. You would think the Lord would have been there with a big smile on his face and said, Mary and Martha, don't worry, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm the resurrection and the life. Don't worry. But beloved, he looked on Mary, the one that he loved. I don't believe that the Lord Jesus wanted to put Mary and Martha through this, or Lazarus. I don't think he wanted to put them through it, but he wanted to demonstrate God's power and who he was. And he chose the three that were the closest to him that he could use for an example. You know, when you use an example of an individual, you don't use an entire total stranger. You always use somebody that you love and that you feel that will understand them being used by you. And sometimes they misunderstand you. And, of course, these three did. But the Lord groaned in the spirit. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if they would have all jumped with joy when they saw the Lord? The Lord, I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry that you didn't get here before he died. But Lord, you have power to raise him from the dead. You have power. We know that you can work it. Wouldn't that have been a welcome to the Lord Jesus? But beloved, he didn't get it. He had been with those disciples now 3.5 years, almost 3.5 years, because he's on his way to the cross here. And after these years being in his home, whom he trusted and they trusted him, whom he loved. Now they're doubting his affection for them. They're doubting his faith to them. And beloved, he's hurt. He's hurt because Martha doesn't believe his words, that he's the resurrection and the life. Mary doesn't understand it. And he looks all around and he sees all these weeping Jews, all weeping there, and he looks at that pitiful face of Mary, swollen, no doubt, her eyes from crying, tears running down her face for the 4 days. For now, remember, it's already 4 days that have gone by. She's been weeping there now for 4 days. And how many days before, when he was sick, waiting on the Lord, that she wept for her brother? We know not. But, beloved, when he looked at her face, he groaned in his spirit. Notice what it says. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Oh, is God troubled over us when we don't simply believe him? Does he have to groan in his spirit and say, oh, that Jim Redling, why is he such a doubting Thomas? Why can't Jim Redling just trust me? Why can't he lean all upon me? Why is he so doubtful? Does he groan over me? Does he groan over you? He groaned over them. You would think the Lord would have been happy, but he's not smiling here, beloved. He's not happy. You know why the Lord isn't happy? Can you be happy when one of your children are sad? As a parent, can you be happy when you see a daughter or a son weeping? You can't be happy either, because you enter into their sorrow. He knows what he's going to do, but he's troubled because they do not trust him. Beloved, do we look at the Lord, and does the Lord look at us and see us as people that don't trust him? But notice what it says in the next verse, the 34th, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And they're leading him now to that tomb. I'll never forget being at Lazarus' tomb and looking down in there. We had a big fat man with us, and he was bound and determined to get into that tomb. And they have opened up another way. Actually, they came in this way. And now you have to go up a road and down into the tomb this way through some stairs. And then through a little cutout place that they opened up where the tomb was of Lazarus. And this fat man got in there. And I thought he almost got in the fat man's squeeze. He almost didn't get out. In fact, I didn't know if we'd have to leave him there. But you know, there he was. He finally got out of Lazarus' tomb. And I don't think that fat man will ever forget that tomb. He almost got stuck in it, but we got him out by one way or another. He got out of it. But you know, he was bound and determined to get inside that tomb. Now, Lazarus was in a hurry to get out. And you know, most of us, when we get in a tomb, we'd be in a hurry to get out. Well, here we see, when the Lord comes to the sepulcher, it says, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You would think that the Lord would be so happy. Lazarus is going to come forth from the grave. But he's not weeping because of a miracle that's going to happen. He's weeping because of the faithless people that are before him. He weeps because those people have not put their faith in him. Do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? And Martha never answered his question. Do you believe? But they did not believe. And beloved, many times the Lord looks at us and we don't believe him. He says, trust me, trust me. And we can't trust him with our soul. We say, there must be some other way to get saved. And a poor sinner comes to the Lord and the Lord says, trust me and I'll save you. But we don't believe him. Notice what the Lord says. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Yes, he could. We can answer their question. But if he had, he would never have proved to the world that he was the resurrection and the life. And that's what he was proving. And he was proving it by his own saints. He was proving it by the one he loved. Notice the next verse. Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, beloved, in America, we don't understand this. But I understand it a little bit better since I've been to the Bahama Islands. The last time I was over there, I just got back from there, in fact. But the last time I was over there, I had 3 funerals. They died in the morning and we buried them in the afternoon. Why? Because it's hot over there. And they don't have any embalming fluid to embalm them. They die and they bury them the same day. Or if they die at night, they'll bury them the next morning. They bury them quickly because in a short time their body stinks. Now, in the New Testament here, only the rich were embalmed, and some of them were kept for 40 days of the embalming of the Egyptians. But, beloved, here, these people, they had to bury them right away because he would start to smell in a few hours after death takes place. Now, that's putting it right on the line that we understand the Scriptures. She said, Lord, he stinks already. She didn't believe the Lord. She said, don't open up that tomb. We don't want to smell him. He's dead, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. I can't stand you to open that tomb. But the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. Did she believe? No, she did not believe. Notice what the Lord says. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his voice and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Beloved, here he brings forth, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead receive life. It's a wonderful thing to preach the gospel. And when you're preaching the gospel and you're giving out the gospel message, some sinner trusts the Lord Jesus Christ who's dead in trespasses and sins, and they believe in him and they come forth a living being trusting Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. Every conversion is a power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he takes a dead sinner and makes them alive to God. Notice the next verse. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Oh, beloved, what a power of the resurrection of the Lord. But wouldn't it have been a wonderful sight if they would have believed all the way through? But they didn't. Oh, beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just trusted the Lord? He said, Lord, I don't understand it now, but I'm going to trust you. I can't understand why you've allowed this to happen, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you for everything that you have done. I'm going to leave it with you. Wouldn't that be great? Beloved, I hope this message has been a touching thing to you, for it has to my heart. For as I see even in my own heart how I fail, and how many times each one of us don't serve the Lord like we should, but after all, we should look to him and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. and he is life. I want us to sing in closing tonight this hymn 246, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary. Come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Maybe there's one that hasn't trusted him. Why don't you trust him tonight? And maybe there's a Christian that you've gone through a problem and this message has met your need. Why don't you just tell him when we sing his hymn, Lord, I'm sorry for feeling hurt towards you. And I want to come back and I want to serve thee. I want to be a blessing as I once was to others. Help me to live for thee. Maybe there's somebody that needs help from the Lord tonight. Shall we just bow in prayer? Father, if there's one here without Christ, we pray that they might be saved. And Father, we just pray if there's a Christian that needs help in their spiritual life to thee, we pray that they might be brought close to thee even through this message tonight, through Mary and Martha, that they might see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and he wants us to believe. Oh God, may we not hurt thee by our unbelief, but may we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and lean not on our own understanding, but lean hard on God. We ask thee now to be with us through this hymn and speak to the souls of men and women. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.